Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is me. Here we are in the Absolute Monastery and the University of Healing and all that sort of stuff. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, and bringing you the thought for today. The thought for today says all this. I'm born for a reason I have yet to discover. My success in life has nothing to do with what I gain or accomplish for myself. My success comes from what I am aware of in myself. How true. I am born for a reason I have yet to discover. My success in life has nothing to do with what I gain or accomplish for myself. My success comes from what I am aware of in myself. I was just speaking to a young man on the telephone this morning from Switzerland, telling me all about his wonderful life, his wonderful world, and all the great experiences that he enjoys. And he is really quite an amazing fellow. We have the lighting system here and the power system here, and the girls have given me a tangle of cords around my microphone and around the power on the computer, and then they expect me to hold this thing next to my mouth, and it's quite a challenge, but that doesn't bother me. I just flip things around until they're in order, and now they're in order. You know, we can say good things in our life, and we can mean good things in our life, but we can always tell what we think of ourselves by what we think about others. If we think someone outside of ourselves is a terrible person, then we can be sure that we are. If we think that someone outside of ourselves is a wonderful person, then maybe we can think that we are. But if we act as though other people outside of ourselves are superior to us, are better than us, are wonderful, fantastic, oh, I wish I were like them, then we better watch out. We better watch out. I'm always amused that here we have the school with the University of Healing, and we have a lot of beautiful students here, a lot of people who are caring and loving and gentle, and they always want to make sure that my toast is right. They always want to make sure that my breakfast table is set. They always want to make sure all these things are done because they want it for themselves. They're not doing it for me, they're doing it for themselves. I'm just there too. I'm a good excuse for doing it for themselves. And then they come around and they show that they haven't discovered the reason for which they are born. And one of them is the example here of the tied up cords for the computer system for our putting our talk on the internet each day. And they have all the wires all wrapped up around here and all in a interesting manner, not orderly and not having the wires all tied up into a nice little bundle like they should be with the little wire things that I have for them. And I go around to each one of their desks and I look at the desk and I see the spaghetti that flows in and out of their desk, and then I say, well, now where do you have your little wire twists? And they give me the wire twists, and I take the wire twists, and I put them around their wires so that they're all gathered together nicely, and the ones that should be short are short, and the ones that should be long are long. And their desks are usually in a nice order. And then I come back a day or two later, and the same mess is there. You see, if they haven't done it for themselves, they haven't done it at all. If I do things for people, it's like not having it done at all. This is the way it is. If I am going to learn for you, you're not going to learn for yourself. And so, wherever you go, I would recommend that you look at the spaghetti and you think to yourself, how can I gather all these wires together under the computers and under the machineries and under the lamps? I went into Ellen's study, and here was a lamp cord that was all twisty and turny and roly and toly everywhere and doing it. And yet the lamp always remained in the same place, but there are 2,000 foot of cord lying there, all sort of lying here and lying there. Naturally, it's an exaggeration, and lying here and lying there. So I went to Ellen's desk, and I found a little tie, and I took the cord and bundled it all up. So now the cord is just a 3-foot cord from the wall to the lamp. And she never moves the lamp, so it's in perfect order. And it looks nice. Then I went to the recording studio for the Dial a Healing Word, and underneath there, there's a long extension cord, 3 million feet long, and there was against the wall a plug for 3 plugs, and then the extension cord came out and went to one little plug, which was dangling there. And I thought to myself, why is that $3 million foot long cord lying there when it's not doing anything? And so I unplugged it, and I plugged the telephone cord directly into the plug in the wall, and lo and behold, it was fine. Then I gathered it all together with a wire and made it nice and short and crisp because it was never moved, and put it in order. Then I took the telephone cord, which was dangling all over the place and getting caught in your feet every time you sat down there, and tied that up into a nice firm little package. And then finally, when the plug came for powering the Olympus itself, I fixed that up. Now, why don't we do things like that for ourselves? You see, we live in a world which is quite hectic. We live in a world where there's so much going on. And in that world that is so much going on, what's happening? Now, Ingeborg has a tendency to drift off to sleep while we're having our talks here. And of course, Ingeborg is 198 years old, and we understand that, you know, that can happen. Now, Ingeborg does not give me her full attention while I'm giving the talk. Now, Ingeborg does not give me her full attention while I'm giving the talk. Ingeborg does not give me her full attention while I'm giving the talk. Now, she's giving me her full attention now. She woke up from her silent slumber and is very happy. But then I look over at Ellen, and I see the boss, the chef, the great one. And instead of looking at me and concentrating on the lesson, she's looking at the dog to see if the dog is all cuddled up in his nest, if the dog is covered with the blanket, if the dog is taken care of, if this is done, if that's done. Now, is she getting the message that I'm sharing? No. She cannot get the message and be thinking of all these other things at the same time. Now, she's shaking her head, yes, she's getting the message, which means that she's getting a little bit of the message. Now, I'm driving the car, and I'm about to make a turn into traffic, and I'm about to turn into that traffic and join with it and flow with it, and there's maybe 2 million cars coming this direction and 2 million from that direction, and then I'm sweeping out into the middle of it all. And so then someone asks me a question, and I say, just a minute, my concentration is on the traffic. I'll be with you in a minute. I have the ability to say that, but I kept my concentration on the traffic. And I flowed harmoniously with the traffic, and I end up in the fast lane, and from the come-on lane. He goes, how did you do that? Well, I concentrated on what I was doing. I gave my full attention to what I was doing. But you went over there so quickly and so smoothly and so wonderfully. Yes, that's true, because I concentrated on what I was doing. Now, I could have concentrated on 3 or 4 things at the same time, which we always do, but I chose to concentrate on that one thing so that I would get in the lane where I wanted to be, where I could drive with the least amount of distraction, and give my attention to all the other things that I want to give attention to, as well as to driving. Now, we don't know why we were born. I'm born for a reason I've yet to discover. Now, what is one of the things that we teach here so strongly at the university? We teach one-pointedness. We teach being one-pointed. Now, if Ingeborg wants to sleep, she should climb into her cozy bed and snuggle down and rest her little head, you know. But she doesn't really want to do that. She wants to do everything else. She wants to be here. She wants to be there. She wants to do this. She wants to do that. When Ingeborg watches television and we're watching a video that we buy to enjoy, her concentration is 100% on that. She's into that video with such enthusiasm and joy. And it's a farce. It's a farce because the video is just a game. It's just a movie that some person has written and they have produced and they put on film. And it's a make-believe. And what she's dealing with every day is real. What we're talking about here is quite real. Now, does she have the ability to be one-pointed in sitting in a lecture and giving her full attention to it? Or does she want to be multi-pointed and appear to be asleeping and not paying attention and not getting the benefit of the talk? Well, I am born for a reason I have yet to discover. So she's yet to discover what the reason is that she sits in these lectures. Now, some of you are so attentive, giving me your attention 100%, and I think that's beautiful. We had a young man here who was giving his full attention to the lectures with great anticipation, with great show of interest and so forth. And then one day, he was upset about something. His girlfriend turned him down or something, whatever the problem was. But he was upset at something, and so instead of giving attention at the lecture, he would look away from me. He would look down at his feet. He'd look away. And I thought, am I saying something incorrect? Am I being disrespectful to him? Am I doing something that is causing him not to want to look me in the face and not to want to be as attentive in the lecture as before? And later on, I found out what the problem was. But the thing is, whatever you are doing, give it your full attention. If you're not going to pay attention at a lecture, don't go to the thing. You're a distraction to the speaker and you're a distraction to those around you. Don't go to the lecture if you're not going to stay awake, if you're not going to give your full attention to it. Do you understand me? Don't drive your car unless you're willing to give 100% attention to it. If you're going to pick up your cellular phone, make sure it has a speaker phone on it, you know, so that you can pay attention to it. But even there, that's quite distracting. That's quite distracting to speak on that. And so some people like to hold long, drawn-out conversations on their cellular phone while they're driving their car. And they say that drunk driving used to be the greatest killer on the road, and now they say that the cellular phone is the greatest killer on the road. Because more people are injured or killed while they're on their cellular phone in the car because they're not paying attention to what they're doing. And all of you who are familiar with cellular phones can certainly recognize how that would be the case. Okay, my success in life has nothing to do with what I gain or accomplish for myself. We think our success in life is shown by how wealthy we are, the beautiful clothing, house, cars, and other things that we have. And yet, if you were to go to a nudist camp and see 50 people, you could tell which ones are successful and which ones are not. Not by looking at their bodies, not by looking at their clothes, they don't have any, but by looking at their attitude. You can tell the way they hold themselves, the way they walk. Not that they're proud of themselves, that they have a lot of pride, but that they are content, that they have found that which they wanted to build their life for, the real success in life. My success comes from what I am aware of in myself. Now, when we will stop dressing for appearances and dress for our own comfort and delight, we will be happier people. When we stop parading around to show off our attitudes and our wealth and just live it from the inside, we will be it. Stefan was telling me how he enjoyed being a very friendly person to people in his life, and how he loved to write poetry, and he loved to write happy words to people. Now, is Stefan trying to manipulate some person with this happy words or poetry? Or is he being himself? Now, if he's being himself, then he would never even mention that he wrote the poetry. He would never mention that he wrote the other things, because these are natural for him. Did Stefan tell me that he tied his shoes? Did Stefan tell me that he wore a belt in one of the pair of pants? Did he tell me that he just got a new shirt and put that on? No, he didn't say any of those things. Those are just natural. Those are just things that are his nature. So be careful what things you tout. Now, I've asked you all to write your blessings every day. And some of you, especially Sylvia there, she loves to list all the members of her family, how she blesses each one. Well, now that takes up at least 12 or 14 of the 50 that she's supposed to write down. And she repeats them every day, which is a lovely thing. Now, the day will come that she does that so naturally, she won't use that as something to write off, you know. She will think of all of the things that she is acting with acts of kindness, with acts of, what term do we use for it?
Acts of kindness and love.
There's another term we had in there. Acts of kindness. Unconscious acts of kindness and love. I think we had another term in there. Because, well, here we got it on our little sheet here someplace too, I'm sure. But what kind of acts of kindness and love were they? Were they something that we were unconscious of?
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. If we are being conscious of them, then they are really not acts of our intuitive kindness and love. And it's something quite important for us to consider, because so often we do things, and we do things for a purpose. Let's see. I'm sure it's right here someplace. I teach best what I most need to learn. Yeah. William Wordsworth, 557. The best portion of a good person's life is the little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love. Unremembered. But the thing is, you're recalling them now. But they're unremembered. You don't use them as, I'm so good. You're using them as, I've forgotten all about it. They're unremembered. They're done sort of subconsciously or unconsciously, if you want to say it that way. But they're unremembered acts of kindness and love. We had a bumper sticker out by some group in a similar vein to that, that you should do the unconscious acts of kindness or love.
Random.
What?
Random acts
of kindness and love. Random acts. They're not done for a purpose. They're just done because it's your nature. Just done because that's who you are. My success comes from what I am aware of in myself. And are you aware of your joy, your peace, your love, your happiness? Are you aware of the goodness that you are within yourself? Think about it. Now, we have made it a habit to do our om in the morning. And whenever we're up at the house, it seems like the om is verboten. And we don't do the om when we're in the house. We, as though we forget it, as though it's something unimportant. And Ellen was telling me that one of our students, when she gave her a nice hug, said, "Come on, give me a good solid hug, a good crushing hug." And Ellen didn't want to do that, but the lady gave her a good crushing hug, and Ellen said she didn't really find that comfortable. And I said to Ellen, you give the kind of hug that you are. Now, do you think that anyone could ever crush Irene? Irene gets pretty strong hugs too sometimes, because people are thinking they're showing their depth of their sincerity. But Irene just is like a gentle, soft, cushy kitty cat, and you cannot crush her because she does not invite crushing. Do you understand what I'm saying? She does not invite crushing. Now, when you are shaking hands, or when you are giving a hug, do you invite crushing? Come on, give me a hug. Give me a healthy hug. Come on. You see, you invite being overwhelmed. You invite having these things. And you see, we have to be very careful that we don't overkill on the things that we do. Is it natural for you? Is this who you really are? My success comes from what I am aware of in myself. Now, my success comes from what I am aware of in myself. Think about that. It's not that you are aware that you are so good. It's that you are aware that you are an artist. You are aware that you are a writer. You just write and enjoy writing. Yes, I like to write. You are aware that you are a lover. You hug with gentleness and tenderness and unassumingness, you know. You are aware that you are a good cook. You are aware that you set a nice table. You are aware that you are a beautiful person. And that doesn't mean you go around, I'm a beautiful person, I'm a beautiful person. I mean, that'd be sickening very quickly, wouldn't it? But you are aware that you are all these things. Now, when the day comes, now this is, I am born for a reason I've yet to discover. When the day comes that you are aware that you are everything, then you will have the day coming when you have discovered why you were born. You were born because you are everything. And you are love, you are peace, you are harmony, you are goodness, you are right action, you are integrity, you are honesty, you are sociability, you are camaraderie, you are everything that could be considered as a delightful, desirable attribute to your being. You are aware of that. Now, as you're aware of that, do you shine it out like holding a red badge of courage up there? Or do you just be aware of it and live it? Live it from the very heart of yourself. When you see a person who has a need, do you go and help them? Or do you say, that's their problem? You know? You say, well, who'd be so cold as to say that's their problem? Every time you turn away from another person, you're being so cold saying, that's their problem. Every time you turn away from a bum on the street, every time you turn away from a poor person that you hear about, every time you turn away from a person who is in need, who is in hunger, who is in hurt. But Herb, we're not supposed to be fooling in those areas. Oh. Then why are you aware of them? So long as we are aware of the sober side of life, so to speak, then that's our side of life. When we become aware only of the divine side of life, if you will, of the happy, the joyous, the peaceful, the harmonious, then that's where we belong. But you do not deserve to be living in the joyous, peaceful, harmonious part of life if you see the other side. If you read about it in the newspapers, watch it on television. One lady said she went to bed listening to the news at night because it helped put her to sleep. It took her mind away from her own problems. Well, rather get your own problems in order. Get your own problems in order. You know, the best way to get rid of your own problems is to die, because then you don't have to face them anymore. But if you want to, look at your problems and say, huh, So be it. I'm a happy person. I am surrounded by solutions, 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 and pretty soon there's no more problems. You say, well, Herb, that is idiotic. My wife will always be sick. My husband will always be a drunkard. Da, 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 da. No way. If your life is filled with solutions, there are no problems. They are all solved in one way or another. And perhaps this is, I am born for a reason I have yet to discover. Perhaps this is the reason that we're born, is that we create a world of purity, goodness, harmony, and beauty around us, that we create a world that we want. My success in life has nothing to do with what I gain or accomplish for myself. You see, what these things are, they're nothing. Nothing in the outer. And then we go on and we say, my success comes from what I am aware of in myself. Now, are you a loving person? Are you a joyful person? Are you a person who looks at the world about you and finds good? Are you a person that looks at the world about you and finds happiness? Are you a person who looks at the world about you and sees your own inner self interacting in that world? That'd be a great world to be in, wouldn't it? Be a great world. Well, one-pointedness, no judgment, no possession. Yeah. These are great things. And every word that I mention reminds me of a lecture. And I could go on and share them with you for hours and hours, but we certainly don't want to do that. We do want to say my success comes from what I'm aware of in myself. So today, be aware of in yourself that you are very wonderful, that you are very positive, that you are very responsible. And look at everything like it's a lovely movie that enchants you, entrances you, takes your attention 100%. Involve yourself in activities that fulfill you, that when you come back from them, you are absolutely beat. You're tired to the very core of yourself. And then you come back to the house, you jump in the shower, and you come out and you say, okay, let's go dancing now. You know? The young people do that. Now, where do they get the energy? Right in their mind. The same place you get yours. Where do you get your tiredness? Right in your mind. The same place anyone else gets theirs. So, wake up to the joy of living now as a beautiful, fantastic, fulfilled being, for you surely are. Yep, I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you. I love you.